Welcome to the Pinstripe Valley podcast, where nobody gives a fuck because the season's over.
I don't even need to do the intro. My co-hosts have done it for me because what else have we got to talk about? So as you just heard, Waffles or Tanya say, welcome to the Pinstripe Valley podcast, where, well, that's pretty much it. Season's over. All right. Pack your bags.
See you next year.
See you next year.
Do we get to take the off season off?
No.
Oh.
Not even close.
Do we get July 4th off?
You can.
I don't. Want to know a funny story, just quickly? One of my first, like, real decent jobs, I worked as a temp, and someone apparently tried to claim on their time card that they worked July 4th when no one else did, and they just didn't think someone would notice.
Nikki.
They were promptly fired. I'm just, you know.
Promptly.
Like Java should be. Promptly fired. Although, like, how do you even blame him at this point?
Easily.
Who would you blame, Jason?
For what?
Bringing in Java.
Joe Girardi.
All right.
I thought you were going to say, Eduardo Nunez.
Oh, well.
It could be his fault, too. We don't know who's actually running the team. Is Eduardo Nunez putting himself into the game?
He's too
or
busy
is Joe Girardi
puppies.
Putting Nunez into the game?
Seriously, playing Nunez at third base on turf is laughably bad. Why would you do that?
Because A-Rod's dead.
We're all dead.
Everyone's dead. Gardner's dead.
If Mark Reynolds comes in for you on defense at third base, you need to quit.
You need to be fired.
Like, maybe college or retail.
I hear Bloomingdale's is starting to hire for the Christmas season.
Somebody has to sell hot dogs at the stadium.
They're not selling themselves.
It's probably gotta be you.
I'm sure at least bullpen catcher would be a nice little job.
Batting practice pitcher.
Seat disinfectant.
Whoa. Messed up.
Career plan change.
Yeah, no, I mean, before we started recording this podcast, Jason was claiming that Joe Girardi needs to win Manager of the Year. And
that's what I heard.
I don't see it, but, you know, Jason, he's pretty adamant.
I am a Joe Girardi apologist, if you will.
But not a Nunez apologist.
No.
He's a Nunez fascist.
I will fascitize Eduardo Nunez in the dugout. Tell him to stay there. In reality, though, I think Joe Girardi is an idiot, and I don't think he's a very good manager. I think the only thing he does right is that he doesn't destroy his bullpen like Joe Torre did. Besides that, I don't think he knows what he's doing. You know, there was that, I've tried to look for this, but I honestly can't find it, but in July there was a post going around that, you know, analyzed who used the shift the best. Yankees, in July, had used the shift the third most, and they had saved zero runs. Everyone else around them had, you know, saved runs, some degree. Yankees zero. He uses the shift at the wrong time against the wrong players. He uses Jabba Chamberlain in close games because why the hell not? Because he hasn't been seen enough to fail that he's got to keep trying. Because apparently Jabba Chamberlain was a good pitcher once. So he's going to be a good pitcher again or something. He plays Chris Stewart at all times because, you know, no one can be better than Chris Stewart, even though he can't catch a fastball. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just makes shit up and blows up in his face. And then he's surprised. And the thing is that about the times that he's surprised, no one else is surprised. No one. It's like, Jabba Chamberlain just gave up a 2-run home run. Well, everyone saw that coming except for Girardi.
According to Girardi in tonight's, yesterday's, post-game, Java's been throwing the ball well. So that's why they, one of the reasons they brought him in.
Yeah. Even, I don't know what that means. Like, has he been throwing the ball, like, well in batting practice? Like, is he just throwing it? Like, he's really good at throwing a ball? Because he's not, like, getting people out. I mean, Jobber Chamberlain was just throwing the ball over the plate and people are hitting.
The best part was when the media was pressing him about it. I think at that point he asked, who do you want me to go to?
Anybody.
Anybody else. I mean, how many options do you need? Who do you want me to go to? I don't know. There's Dylan Betances, Cesar Cabral, there's Adam Warren, there's David Phelps, there's Preston Claiborne, there's Brett Marshall, there's, who the hell are those other people? Jim Miller? No, he's dead. There's
Mike Matt Harkey's Campy. Not doing anything these days.
Mike Harkey, Larry Rothschild, who I can only assume is a pitcher.
Steve Donahue, like, suit his ass up.
Alberto Gonzalez isn't doing anything anymore.
Dylan.
Already said Dylan, but he can pitch twice.
Yeah.
Actually, someone
he can pitch with his other hand.
I was going to say that. He should pitch right-handed and left-handed before Jobber Chamberlain gets hit again.
I think he mentioned, even said, like, some one of the reporters brought up, it might have even been Meredith, brought up Cesar Cabral, and Girardi is basically saying that, think something like, he's young and he didn't want to bring in, you know, him into a tough spot like that. And
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Not a tough spot, because what would have happened? At worst, the same thing.
But that's,
I mean, know what's going to happen with Jabba. It's never not happened. Like, there, it's not like it, this happens occasionally, we blow it out of whack. No, like, every time he puts him in, he gives up runs. It's never not a thing. So it's like, you might as well just take a chance. Cesar Cabral, gasp, he could be better.
Can we discuss how infuriating Jabba's face is, like, whenever he does something stupid?
It's
and he just has that, like, blank
time.
Look on
he,
it, and it's
he,
just
he kinda,
like, I hate you.
He kind of
so
looks,
much.
He looks at where the ball went and, like, looks like, where am I? And then he, like, wipes his face because he's all sweaty and disgusting. He looks like he's dehydrated. Like, he's having a hallucination. Like, I don't know where I am right now. Can someone please direct me to, like, anything that I know? Like, give me a drink, something.
No, he just always has his mouth, like, hanging open. Like, he's trying to, like, catch bugs or something.
Maybe he is.
And it's just like, I hate you and your face so much.
Like, literally, get off my team.
No, he really can't. Like I'm going to put one of those, like, countdown things on my phone so that it alerts me when Jabber Chamberlain is no longer on my team.
God, if we could do those widgets on the side of the thing, side of the page anymore, like,
yes.
Countdown to when Jabba is gone.
I miss those.
I do miss them. I wish they would come back, because I don't know why they would get rid of them. They were nice.
I mean, yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't know what to do. With, I mean, besides...
Drink heavily.
Light everyone on fire.
That's mild.
Except Cano, he needs money.
Spare him. He can be spared. He can be the guy lighting everybody on fire.
And with that big grin on his face when he does, too.
Yeah.
Now that's an image. But yeah,
no,
I mean,
he's lazy. He quit on the season.
Oh,
yes.
We have a special guest on our podcast, Michael Kay.
Is it just me, or was he really insufferable this Toronto series?
He's always insufferable.
He's always.
But more so than usual.
I don't think there's any more so than usual.
Yes,
I think it's
there
always
is.
Michael Kay levels of stupid.
No.
Well, I think he always just kind of, like, points out the obvious at the most stupid times, like, the Yankees just really can't afford... It's like, no. Duh.
Yankees are scuffling right now, and their best player is not hustling. It's like, shut up. It's not like Cano is the only person doing that anyway.
And he's the only one that Kay rags on all the time. Soriano freaking jogged to second base.
What
was
that?
And was out. And
he looked like he was old and hurt.
He might be.
And if it had been Cano, Kay would still be talking about it right now.
And of course,
oh my God, look at this.
It's so easy for Kay to forget. Oh, who's the one Yankee who has stayed healthy? Oh, it's Lackadaisical Boy.
Exactly. Which goes back to my argument from that post, like, a while back. I'm completely fine with the way Cano plays. Is there maybe one or two plays every once in a while that it's like, ooh, that's tough? Fine, yes. But I would gladly take that if he stays healthy the entire season by not trying to leg out a stupid ground single that he will not even get close to being safe to. You know, like, it just doesn't make any sense.
And
I don't want him to pull a hamstring.
And what's funny is you saw him, like, there was one game where I think we came back and won that game where I forget who we were playing, but he actually did beat out an easy double play to keep the Yankees in the game.
Yeah.
So he busted his ass when he needed to.
But exactly. And
lazy ones he doesn't, because all right, I'm getting out, I'm not gonna risk.
Exactly. There's no point in trying. It doesn't make me feel any better that, like, oh well, at least he was trying. Like, what is this? What is this, Little League?
He gets an A plus.
He hustled. Everyone should hustle. Like, what the hell is this?
But see, he does hustle sometimes, and Kay is just, like, silent about that, but...
Oh, yeah.
If he's not, like, busting it out of the box one time, it's World War III in the booth.
Because Michael Kay just feeds off of any narrative that exists. If there's a narrative, he's going to talk about it, because he doesn't actually think of anything. He just... Yeah, people are saying this, so let's talk about this.
Well, let's argue about pitching to the score being a thing with an actual pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, and this is where my problem with Kay really always lied, or lies, was just, he broadcasts like a radio announcer, and I think he's channeling his, you know, ESPN radio show host thing into his, you know, play-by-play, which we don't need.
No.
But enough about Michael Kay.
Starting pitching has been really depressing, really, lately, too.
Yes,
No one in the rotation is even inspiring, like, oh, well, at least they can win that start, because Nova's cooled off, Kuroda's a shade of whatever he once was in July.
Pettit.
He fell into a crater.
I think Pettit might be our best pitcher right now.
Sad.
Yeah.
Might be. That's depressing.
Yes.
And CC has literally sucked all season.
Well, that's really, when you really... And, you know, in the offseason, I'm sure we're going to discuss this much more, but you could almost really attribute us not making the postseason this year to Cece Sabathia being terrible.
Possibly.
When you really look at it, if he wins maybe half of the starts that he normally does, we're probably at least somewhere in the wild, and we're probably number one in wild cards at least.
Maybe.
If he didn't give up like one or two games of seven runs.
One or two? I would count like...
Or, if you look at it another way, if Joe Girardi had taken him out of the game earlier, before he blew the goddamn game up, maybe we would have been able to stay in those games. Because, you know, Girardi lived by the CC pitch, throws 100 pitches every time. It doesn't matter what he's doing. Like, I mean, you know, you have an ineffective pitcher, you take him out. Doesn't matter who he is. I don't care who he is. If he's not getting outs, if he's not preventing runs, he shouldn't be in the game. And there have been plenty of times where Girardi just let CC just go, and he would just give up hits and runs, and then by the time, and eventually he hits the 100-pitch mark, take him out. It's like, oh, yeah, you kept us in the game. Meanwhile, we're down, like, 5-0.
And this is why you think Joe Girardi needs to win Manager of the Year.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Who would you even get to replace Joe Girardi?
No.
Tony Pena. I think they should all just manage themselves, see what happens.
Manager by committee.
That would be an interesting,
just
like,
let it,
experiment.
Just let it go.
Maybe Hank can manage the team.
I would watch that. That would be hilarious. Then I would cry because it would be not hilarious anymore after, like, 5 games.
5? I'd give it 1.
Is he alive still?
No.
Like, I'm not even, like, I'm not even meaning, like, involved in the team. Like, is he, like, actually, like, on this plane of existence anymore? Because, like, I feel like he's fallen off of this plane of existence.
No one mentions
locked in his chamber.
I think so. I think
with his Pop Tarts. Yeah.
What kinds?
Strawberry swirl.
The chocolate ones.
Okay, chocolate too.
Yeah, I think chocolate ones it is.
And his like burner cell phone that he stole.
Whoa.
One time I read that after Hal took over the team from George Steinbrenner, they had Hank Steinbrenner's phone number changed so that the media couldn't call him for comments anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like sat him down in a room and was like, all right, you're not
going to talk anymore.
Yeah. You've lost phone privileges. You've lost Yankee privileges.
I just see them, like, having him in some, like, dungeon somewhere with a guard that Hal pays regularly to, like, keep him...
Oh, yeah.
...contained. And every time Hank makes a statement, I can see Hal calling that guard and being like, what the hell, dude? You had one job!
Steve! Steve, come on! You're letting us down!
Gotta keep an eye on.
One job! One job!
God damn it, Steve! So where do the Yankees go from here? I mean... This is, again, we've discussed this before, and obviously we're going to discuss it again, but this is really the most uncertain offseason I think I've ever seen. And, like, I don't know what the plan is.
I wonder if they know what the plan is.
There's no plan. The Yankees, when was the last time the Yankees had a plan?
2008?
I would even say 2010.
Really?
I think they had a plan.
Yeah, when they traded for Granderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
It was a decent plan. But 2011, their plan was, we got to get Cliff Lee, and then they realized that Cliff Lee didn't want to go there, and they just, they were kind of lucky that they made the playoffs that year, because Bartolo Colon and Freddie Garcia decided to resurrect themselves.
Yeah, and then 2012, they should not have, you know, done that again.
Yeah, but... well, exactly. After Cliff Lee rejected the Yankees, I think,
they're still pouting about it. They're just like, well, if you're not going to come to us, we're not going to have anything.
And again, thank you, Cliff Lee.
I think Brian Cashman lost his mind and then proceeded to, like, get all the old people. You know, Freddie Garcia, Bartolo Colon, Raul Ibanez. Just, like, how old can we get? Let's sign Ichiro. Let's get him.
Let's test the waters.
Paul Konerko.
The Ichiro deal.
I still think that was.
It hurts
I think that
my
was the
soul.
Creation of above Cashman.
I
oh, I'm sure
so.
That it is.
I don't know. I think Cashman was going for it.
The thing about that is, though, like, if it was really something that he was against, he would have pulled an act like he did with when they signed Soriano.
I don't think so. I think that the Soriano deal was so, like, you know, he...
On their level?
Well, no, like...
He had told, like, agents and other people that he was not going to give that kind of contract to a reliever, so he was just sort of covering his bases there, like, yeah, that's why.
Right.
I thought it was more that he wanted Soriano, he just didn't think... He thought he could have got him for less than Corey Black.
Yeah, no, we're talking about Raphael.
No, not that Soriano.
About Raphael.
The other Soriano.
Oh, that. We have so many Sorianos.
All of them.
Too many damn Sorianos.
He didn't want to give up a draft pick for a reliever.
Yep. Well,
but I think that was just, like, so publicly messy that he wasn't going to, like... go up against management again, but everything that has been said was that he wanted Russell Martin and Nate Shearholz, and they wanted Ichiro.
Yay.
De facto.
Well, I thought that Nate Shearholz didn't want to go to the Yankees because he was concerned about playing time, because that, you know, that was before all the injuries.
He wanted them to guarantee that they weren't going to go sign Ichiro, and they wouldn't do it.
Oh.
Because they were going to go sign Ichiro.
Because they were going to go sign Ichiro.
He called their bluff.
You're going to sign Ichiro,
like,
aren't you?
No.
No?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Not a Sapporo guy.
Are you in your meeting with the Sapporo representatives? No. cancel that.
Yeah, no, that we canceled that, remember?
That was such a good decision, because they could have had Nate Shearholz in the middle of a career year, as opposed to Ichiro in his, you know...
corpse years.
Death rattle.
And Russell Martin, as infuriating as he was, is like
miles better.
Babe Ruth compared to Chris Stewart.
I'm Babe Ruth compared to Chris Stewart.
Again, I had no problem with them getting rid of Russell Martin, but the fact that there was no plan in place to replace him, that's where the real issue lies.
We were all fine with that, except their grand backup plan was Chris Stewart and Cervelli.
We're just gonna go with these guys.
It's cool, guys. It's fine. Like, if they'd actually gotten, like, a catcher,
we'll take
it fine.
But... yeah. One catcher.
And there were catchers on the market that were willing to take, like, one-year deals. AJ.
There were plenty of people that they could have taken that are really not that good, but would have been better than Chris Stewart.
I mean, could Kelly Shopik have been any worse than Chris Stewart?
No. He would have had to try really hard.
Yeah.
I think anybody would have had to try really hard to be worse than Chris Stewart's been.
I mean,
and it's just, it's baffling to me that it's been almost 162 games of seeing him do this, and he's still getting the majority of the playing time. It's like, because J.R. Murphy would just cause the earth to explode on itself.
And here's the thing with that, too. Pitch framing expert John Flaherty was saying when Murphy started, he was basically saying he was good. He was saying he likes the way, you know, where he frames the pitches. He likes the things he's calling. He catches the ball well. He actually doesn't screw up when, you know, the pitcher crosses him up. And I'm like, all right, if John Flaherty, whose only purpose on is to determine how well pitches can be framed, if he's saying that J.R. Murphy is legitimately good back there, why isn't he playing him?
I think the most amazing thing was a couple days ago when J.R. Murphy got crossed up and he still caught the ball. And it was like, that's allowed to happen?
Chris Stewart would still be looking for it behind his back.
Because seriously, every time Chris Stewart gets crossed up, it goes to the backstop.
Like, not even when he gets crossed up.
Well, not, no, that's...
it can be a regular pitch down the middle.
I think he just blinks at the wrong
more
time.
More balls than cross-ups go to the backstop, but all cross-ups go to the backstop.
Yep.
Every time.
Ridiculous.
Like, they took out Stewart last night, or two nights ago now, for, like, they put him in for defensive replacement, and I was, like, waiting for him to blow something and, like, let a ball go by and someone scores.
Clank off the glove incoming.
Can we talk about how they would have gotten swept by the Blue Jays if they didn't rise from the dead in the eighth inning of Wednesday night's game?
Good times.
Good times. It was
a great road trip, guys.
Hey, guys, we're one game out. Let's just lose every game
for now. What's most infuriating is that all these American League teams are, like, trying so badly to keep the Yankees in this. The wild card winner is going to have, like, what, 87, 88 wins? That's, like, pitiful. And yet the Yankees...
and the Yankees are just like,
No, we're only...
We're done.
Maybe they'll finish above 500. Maybe.
The Yankees are just, like, in the corner screaming, let us die already.
Leave us alone. We're done. I've had enough.
They're eating blue. Filling out lineup.
Just stop already.
Yeah, Vernon Wells.
They just let themselves go.
We'll go with that again. Why not?
It's amazing. Like, the Rangers have fallen off a cliff. The Rays aren't that far behind them, and we can't catch up to them because we just decided not to play. And again,
even with a cakewalk schedule,
a big F you to the 2000 injury bug for taking Gardner away from me. Like, that one. That for me, that was the season. Like, I don't know if you know, but I pretty much tapped out. You know, that I was in the chokehold or something Ric Flair-ish, and I just tapped the mat and, like, all right, I'm done. It's like, what else is there?
I mean, once Gardner went down, they had to start playing Wells or Ichiro.
He checked his swing. He checked his swing and pulled his oblique. What more is there? We're done.
We're done. We're done here.
Done.
Drop the oblique.
Season canceled.
I cannot remember another season. I was just like ready to be done. I've been ready for the season to be over for like 2 months.
2008.
Yeah, I've been
in September.
Yeah.
I think I checked out a little bit kind of before they got hot again, and it's just been like I'm waiting for, you know, the shoe to drop where like everyone's like, "Oh my god, they're so good now." And it's like, "Yeah, they are, but it's going to happen."
And here's and this is what I'm going to be interested in, because you know how I love Yankee fans. I mean, we're I would like to think of us as more of the sensible, reasonable Yankee fans. I'm just waiting for this fan base to explode after this year.
Oh,
don't re-sign Cano.
You can already see signs of it, but just waiting for like it to really just blow up and people start turning it.
You know, if that's what it what it takes for Hal and Randy Levine and whoever to realize, oh, hey, maybe we can't cheap out on team again, then maybe it's for the best.
That's not gonna happen.
I mean, you would think that they would look at the product that was on the field this year and be like,
look at
Chris Stewart
the
played
mirror.
Over 100 games this year.
They'll
I
just blame it on injuries
care.
And be like, we tried.
Oh yeah, yeah, probably. Yeah. Injuries is a perfect explanation. Yeah, we got an injury bug, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure by the end of the year, Randy Levine will say some bullshit about injuries, and then that'll be it.
Well, it didn't. I'm not, like, not to defend him, but it really did hurt us.
Yeah, sure. But still.
The thing about that is that you don't replace your very injury-prone third baseman with another very injury-prone third baseman, and you don't have a backup for your injury-prone, broken-ankled shortstop with a dude who plays defense like his hands are made of cinder blocks, and you don't sign
semi-awful catcher
Ichiro for 2 years, and
don't get rid of Russell Martin, who isn't really that good of a catcher, and put the worst product on
you
the field.
You build for depth.
4,000 hits.
You build for depth, and the Yankees didn't do that at all. So,
I mean, seriously, like, okay, A-Rod's going to miss time with his hips.
They knew that last November.
Kevin Youkilis.
And the best they could do is I mean, I guess like, that the market was pretty dry, but, I mean.
It wasn't that dry.
It was pretty dry.
It's like, okay, back up for Jeter. Nunez. What's the worst that could happen?
Well,
oh,
no.
He's terrible.
My biggest problem with the Kevin Youkilis signing is like, yes, okay, you know, they tried. First of all, it was a lot of money to give to someone who has a broken back. Second of all, Cashman's defense of the move was that we felt confident giving him a contract because the White Sox had already tried to re-sign him. What? Because some other team wants to be an idiot? You think it's okay to be an idiot?
That's really what it boils down to. It really was injuries and poor planning, I guess I could say it. I mean, it's really hard to plan for that many horrible injuries, but I most fault him on the catcher situation. I could see giving Youkilis a chance in the hopes that he would at least provide something until A-Rod got back.
Yeah.
I said I can
excuse him for that. You know, Overbay, honestly, that was one of the better moves. I can't even remember who Overbay replaced, but I know it was better.
Juan Rivera,
thank you. So, there were some decent moves made, but I really can't excuse the catching situation.
I can't excuse the Ichiro contract at all. I can't.
Yeah, he's one of the worst hitters in the league.
I could excuse that to the point where here's my reasoning for that. If we're getting Granderson back, then at the worst, Ichiro is technically, what, a third, fourth outfielder?
Don't care. That's 2 years for his broke ass.
I'm not confident.
Personally, I hate the Wells contract more than the Ichiro.
I'm not confident.
The who contract?
I'm not confident
the
that
Wells.
They're going to play Ichiro like a fourth outfielder. And I'm not as obsessed about the Wells deal either, because they're not really paying him anything next year. So they can just cut him.
No, I don't even care. But he's wasting roster spot.
Well, so is Ichiro.
Yes, I agree. Ichiro.
Except they're actually paying Ichiro to waste a roster spot.
But at least Ichiro provides some semblance of defense.
What? He's been terrible out there recently, and it's only going to get worse.
I think he got drunk.
Like, have you watched the past, like, two series? He's been, like, herp over my head.
He's been Bobby Abreu out there.
I don't think he's been Abreu bad.
He's been Abreu.
That's going over my head. I can't possibly get it. I'll just play it off the wall.
Hold up at the wall.
Maybe he's also having fatigue at this point, too, because, I mean, he's old.
He's old.
He's old as hell.
I wish he would just retire.
Maybe.
Gotta get some sense from Silver into him.
Maybe he will, but I don't think he will.
He's not.
Yeah, right.
No.
Ichiro 3000. I like how we're gonna go back in time. Like, we just celebrated Ichiro 4000. We're hoping for Ichiro 3000.
It's not gonna happen. And if they give him enough plate attempts to, like, try to make it happen...
It's going to fizzle out like Johnny Damon's 3,000 hit attempts.
Ooh!
I'm going to, like, hit the snooze button on 4-2.
Really?
Wake me when Greg Burns
in
here.
Addition to the...
Exactly. I'm going to go to sleep, so you guys let me know when you care about fielding a competitive team again.
You can cryogenically freeze yourself and then set it to wake up when Greg Bird takes the field.
It's not even Greg Bird. It's just, like, somebody who isn't old and terrible, because I would like to see that.
That ain't happening.
Who do we have? That's who do we even have coming up that can replace the old and terrible?
No one.
Be good.
Yeah, I would be willing to try anyone.
Like, we did try people, and they sucked.
We didn't try, like, real prospects.
David Adams.
David Adams is not a real prospect.
Not a real anything. Did I think he was going to be that bad? No.
Well, no. Okay.
I don't think you can
expect
anybody.
Like, real prospect that I feel like has been called up this season was J.R. Murphy.
Yeah.
And he's chained to the bench.
Not even Zoilo?
No.
No.
I mean,
I don't.
Zoilo is not, like, a bad prospect, but he's not a great prospect by
any
means.
He's, like, back top 20. And that's because.
He's, like,
he's
in the,
like,
15-20 range.
Yeah, and that's really because he's, like, ready to be the majors now.
Yeah. There's, like, his ceiling is fourth outfielder, and if your ceiling is not a starter, then I'm not excited. I'm sorry.
Do I still want him to do good? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I expect him to do good? No.
I mean, like I said, if your ceiling is not a starter, then this is how much I care.
Yeah, so is Chris Stewart. And, well, here we are.
Chris Stewart is a prospect.
Arbitration eligible.
They need to just, like, not even tender him a contract. Just
yeah, but
they will. I know
they will. Chris Stewart, Jason Nix.
No.
All those guys.
I would like to hope that they at least sign Ryan over Nix.
Oh, man. Well,
they need to.
The thing is, they can keep Nix, and they will.
Nix will be the backup, like, second baseman, third baseman.
No, I actually have no problem with that, because Nix is a backup, and he's not that terrible of a backup.
Unless they don't re-sign Cano, and then he's your starting second baseman.
Oh my god.
They're re-signing Cano. There's no chance they don't sign him.
Oh, I think there's a chance.
I'm actually going with no chance.
I'd be pretty stunned.
I would be shocked, but I'm just saying, there's certainly a chance.
1% chance they don't sign.
Okay, well, that's not no percent.
I'm still thinking no percent, but I'll give you 1.
You'll get.
I'll concede 1%.
You'll get 1 and like
yes.
It.
Or they re-sign Cano and then sign utter garbage everywhere else and are like,
there you go.
We got this.
Done. We got Cano.
Well, I mean, logically speaking, they should have Teixeira back next year. Not that, you know.
Yay, pop up to third.
I was saying, not that that fills me with the greatest of happiness, but, I mean, Teixeira will be back. We don't know about Jeter, you know, we'll see.
They'll stop paying AJ Burnett to pitch in Pittsburgh.
We really need to get Tanaka.
Yep. Yeah.
I think we should go headlong into Tanaka.
Except, you know that's going to cost, like,
a bajillion dollars?
A ton of money, and they're going to be like, no, can't.
He's not worth it.
I mean, I'm still inspired by the fact that they actually sent their top scouts over to watch him.
I don't see them. I mean, they weren't competitive in the Darvish sweepstakes at all.
I can't believe. Did they even put down an offer? Because
they did, but it wasn't a real
offer.
Okay.
It was pathetically low.
We're going to do this to say we did it, but...
1 million, just in case no one actually bets on anything. Like they did with that infielder guy. Like, let's just do this for the lulz. And it's like, oh crap, we actually won. We don't really want to sign you, just kidding. Like, what is the point of that?
I don't know.
Just to say that they did.
It's like, who were they afraid to actually win him? Like, the Red Sox? Like, okay, pay all that money for that infielder.
I still love the whole rebuilding thing, like, the Yankees need to do what the Red Sox is. Like, the Red Sox got lucky that the Dodgers were willing to actually make that ridiculous of a trade.
Nope.
I would say, that's not happening with the Yankees. They're not ditching all their contracts.
But the amazing thing is that after that trade, they're both competitive.
Yeah, it worked out.
Like, for both parties, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's because they were playing in a toxic environment under Bobby Valentine.
Probably.
Plus the fact, I think it has to do with the fact that they actually stayed healthy this year, for the most part.
Also that.
That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, Victorino's unfortunately been really good for them too.
I mean, I honestly can't believe that the Yankees, like, allowed themselves to, like, you know, just not add any depth after they saw what happened to the Red Sox when they did the exact same thing. And they just tanked. And it's like, well, you know, you saw the Red Sox do this. Why are you repeating their mistakes?
But this is why they'll blame injuries, because even with the Yankees tanking like they did, they were still a playoff contender up until probably today.
Up until Joe Girardi single-handedly destroyed the season.
And Eduardo Nunez kicked a puppy in the face.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what it boils down to, I think. They'll blame injuries simply because, well, look, we made it this far and we had such a broken team this year. Meanwhile, look at the Royals, who are competing almost at our, you know, at our level or a little bit better, and they're playing the best baseball they've played in the years.
Well, really, what the injuries just kind of deflect from all the poor planning.
Not just the injuries; it's really the re-injuries. You know, like Granderson coming back and then immediately going back on the DL and stuff.
Good times.
I guess that's a question. Do we go for Granderson again next year?
I would offer him arbitration or whatever.
Well, he's a free agent, so yeah, give him the qualifying offer and maybe he'll accept it and try to build stock toward the next year. But I guess if he's trying for a much larger contract, then yeah, I gotta let him go, I think. But
we have too many outfielders now.
Oh, no.
No, we really don't.
I meant too many outfielders, we have no choice.
We need more space so we can play Ichiro and Wells
every
day.
That's the very mindset that they don't need to have. Like, oh, we have too many outfielders. We have Wells and Ichiro and Soriano and Gardner. And it's like...
You know that's what they're thinking.
I'm sure it is, but that's the wrong way to think.
So there are
two of them are hot garbage.
Well, then they'll just trade Gardner.
Probably.
I think we're going a little extreme there.
Are we?
I think so.
Yes.
Well, who would want to... Why would someone trade for Gardner with only 1 year left on the contract?
I don't know.
People
traded for stupider things.
But either way, I think...
Vernon Wells was traded twice.
Either way, Granderson is probably... If he is going to be asking for a multi-year deal, it might be a bit much for someone who's... Again, it's giving out contracts to people going into their mid-30s. But if he wants to do, like, a one-year pillow contract like Adrian Beltre did with the Red Sox a couple years ago, then I would definitely do that. Maybe even 2 years.
I would do 2 years.
Yeah.
Considering that, you know, the Yankees have nothing in the pipeline, really. I mean, all the Yankees outfielders have belly flopped on their faces.
I mean, I think you're being a little bit extreme about that, because...
Maybe.
One, it was a bad season, and two, like... They weren't bad the entire year, and the Yankees minor league ballparks oppress offense.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's
I don't
just
think it's
for the bandbox of our stadium, I guess.
No, it's not. It's not as bad as I say it is.
I would say that the only outfield prospect who really had a completely disappointing season to me is Mason Williams, because it was just really bad.
His work ethic was questioned.
I mean, Tyler Austin was decent on the road, which makes me think that you're just kind of a product of hitting at Arm & Hammer Park.
And he also had that wrist injury that caused
the problem. He was hurt. But, I mean, you know, that's kind of a concern because now he's kind of been hurt two different seasons.
Not Slade Heath got hurt, but...
No, not serious, just kind of, like, nitpicky things. Yeah. But, I mean, I would have obviously liked to see one of them make it to Scranton this season, and obviously that didn't happen. But, I mean, you know, Tyler Austin, at least, he moved up 3 levels last season, so you can't expect that kind of growth every season. Slade Heathcott, I mean, I've never been particularly high on him. I know everybody's, like, in love with his tools and everything, but he's moving at, like, a snail's pace through the system.
Yeah, and he's he was drafted the same year as Mike Trout. And so he's like 22 years old. He'll be 23 on the 28th. So.
And he's just like crawling through the system. Yeah. Like, again, he didn't play a full season. And
like, his hitting numbers look pretty decent. It's just a matter of, like, he doesn't stay healthy, which is a problem.
Yeah, the problem with Heathcott is he had a terrible start of the season.
Yeah, he was awful.
But then after that, he actually started hitting pretty solidly, so his numbers look pretty bad, but they're really not that bad.
And I'm sure that was probably just an adjustment period, because double-A pitching is a lot closer to the majors.
It could have been anything, really. Yeah.
But he needs to, like, stay on the field so he can actually, like, move through the system
really
stalling.
You know, I actually read an article that I put in the news the other day about Slade Heathcott's makeup and stuff like that, and how scouts feel that, you know, he's so intense about everything that it's going to be hard for him to, like, kind of put everything together, because, like, there's an aspect of him that's, like, you know, basically, like, basically what the writer said was that he hates failing more than he likes winning. That, like, it could end up being, you know, he has problems with coachability and can't use his, you know, talents in the right way to actually be successful and stuff like that, which is, I guess, what scouts say when they say people have a bad makeup, when, you know, whatever attitude or whatever kind of personality flaws they have could possibly be a drawback in their, you know, quest to make, you know, the majors. So I guess that's something we kind of watch.
Maybe. I mean, I know players have succeeded in the majors with that same mentality, though, but...
Sure, yes.
Doesn't Mason Williams... Isn't he really supposedly really hard on himself, too?
Yeah. That's, like, the questions about his, like, makeup and stuff basically have stemmed from the fact that he's just, like, incredibly hard on himself. Like, he'll ground out and just, like, freak out about it and... Obviously can't do that.
No.
Well, probably hit better.
I think the disappointing thing for me with them this season was their lack of power. Like, all of Austin's home runs from last season just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a product of the park, too, but...
But, I mean, he plays on the road. Yeah. And how many home runs did he hit this year?
Maybe 5.
Yeah, like, you know, sure, the home park probably hurt him, but, like, still should be hitting, you know, home runs on the road.
You know who hits home runs? Greg Bird.
Greg Bird.
I'm afraid.
He hits them on command.
I'm afraid what the tougher parks will do to him.
The Joe, like, killed his production. If Greg Bird played all of his games on the road this season, he would have been... ridiculous.
He already, like, is ridiculous.
Well, but even, like, beyond that, like, his home road splits were insane.
Just bring him up next year.
All the Yankee minor league ballparks just kill offense. Like, kill it dead. He did okay at home. He didn't do, like, super bad, but, like, if you look at his home and road splits, it's like another world.
Here's my problem with, you know, things like that. The purpose of these minor league systems is to develop players. Why would they allow their stadiums to be built that are pitcher-friendly, hitter-friendly, whatever? Wouldn't you want a nice median in the middle, good for hitters and pitchers? Because the thing is, like, if you have a hitter's ballpark, your pitchers are going to get creamed, and your hitters are going to, like, you know, have their stats inflated, and they might not be as good as you think. If you have a pitcher's ballpark, you know, no one is happy because, you know, your hitters look like crap, and your pitchers aren't threatened by any hitters because they can just get disguised by the ballpark.
I don't think they have a ton of control over that. I mean, those minor league ballparks aren't, like, specifically built by the Yankees for their minor league teams.
I know, But, I mean, I don't know. I just
like, they can't say, like, okay, tear down this stadium and give me a different one.
We need this. Well, like, you know, is it really that out of line to be like, you can build a stadium, but it has to be within these, like, you know, dimensions or something?
I mean, like, different people own those.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, teams, I know.
So, I don't know that the Yankees have a whole lot of jurisdiction over, like, the dimensions of the stadium.
Well, what makes a team a minor league team a team's minor league affiliate? Do they, like, sign a contract?
Yeah. I'm guessing they sign a contract.
Yeah, they signed a contract. Yeah,
because, like, the team that is closest to, like, my house was the Yankees when I was growing up, and now it's the Marlins. And, like, nothing about it changed except who the team.
See.
It's like why the Mets, I think AAA team is in Las Vegas right now, and they desperately want to move. I think they even wanted to move back to Buffalo or something, but Buffalo already has a team now, I think, with the Blue Jays.
It was actually funny.
Yeah, the Blue Jays
was annoyed with the Mets because the Mets weren't giving them a competitive team, so they weren't really selling well. So Buffalo chose not to renew with the Mets and renewed with the Blue Jays instead, which might have had something to do with all the Blue Jays' crazy waiver wire claims this year because it actually allowed Buffalo to have a better team.
I would think also because Toronto is, like, right near Buffalo, and I mean, I think they pretty much share, like in terms of, like, network commercials and stuff. Like, I remember seeing some Buffalo stuff and seeing ads for, like, Canadian stuff. So it's, like, right there. So it probably just works. It's mutually beneficial.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why the Yankees switched to Trenton several years ago from Norwich and Scranton from Columbus.
Speaking of which, congratulations to the Thunder.
Yeah,
someone's doing winning.
Champion from somewhere.
I mean, they have the best minor league logo, I think.
Even Mason Williams started to play well in the playoffs.
And they swept the playoffs. Like, they were, like, 13 games back of the Mets in the division, and they swept them and then swept the next round.
Yup.
Go Thunder.
All right.
But, yeah, I'm not worried about Greg Bird because, I mean...
He's Greg Bird.
Yes, but he was not bad on the road at all. So I don't think it was like Charleston's ballpark helping him succeed.
Oh, I know
Plus
that.
Plus, he hit 3 home runs.
I know that.
For you.
For me. And, I mean, he has pretty equal splits. And, I mean, obviously I expect him to do a little worse against better pitching. But I think that he has a lot of plate discipline and patience, and I think that will carry him.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as, like, with Tyler Austin, though. They actually posted the exact same WRC plus in Charleston.
Yeah, but I think that it's a little different because Greg Bird is more of a complete hitter than
Tyler
Austin. Yeah, I'll buy that.
He led all the minor leagues in walks. Mm-hmm. Like, no one in the minor league system in minor league baseball had more walks than...
When he finished his season, he was second in walks in all of professional baseball
to
only Joey Votto.
Pretty good.
That's impressive. And with power, too.
And with power.
And he hits home runs on Waffles Command.
And he's left-handed, which means that if he makes it, that his swing is just, like, perfect for Yankee Stadium. But he's not simply a pull hitter, so...
Yay.
I think that, and he hit a lot of doubles, and the saying kind of goes that young doubles hitters turn into home runs, so, I mean, there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be hopeful for about him. I mean, sure, he could have a bad season. It's kind of the way of prospects, but there are a lot of reasons to believe that he can be very good.
Again. Now here's a question. What if he has another incredible season next year? Because next year, where will he be?
He will probably almost certainly start in Tampa.
You know, unless they sign Andrew Clark again to go play in Tampa. that was playing in Tampa ahead of him.
Saxon Butler.
Yeah. Great name.
He better be in Tampa next year, at least.
I mean, I can't see any reason why he wouldn't start the season
Tampa. I can't believe they kept him in the same place all year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of unfair because they kind of could have done what they did with Tyler Austin last year in that promote him to Tampa at the end of the season, see how he does in spring training, and then maybe bump him up to the next level out of spring training. I think that's aggressive, but I mean,
he's Greg Bird.
Well, I understand that they wanted to keep it slow with him, so I understand that they, you know, didn't want.
It was also his first season of like playing a lot of games. So,
but I felt like that at a certain point, late in the season, they should have brought him up.
Yeah, I agree, and like they promoted the other Charleston first baseman. It's just like, are you kidding? Like,
yeah, that's just silly.
Really. Like, they promoted Raymond Nunez over Greg Bird at the end of the season. It's like, I get that Tampa doesn't have anything to play for, but Charleston didn't either, and it's kind of lame.
Little lame.
This turned into a prospect podcast.
You know, at least prospects inspire
really,
hope.
What we need to discuss something about the future.
Exactly. I mean, it's better than talking about the freaking Yankees right now.
Ugh. What the hell are these clowns?
We need to discuss the future because... I mean, obviously, there are a lot of players on this team who need to be replaced by some of these people we've been talking about, so we'll see.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that none of these guys are that close to the majors.
No.
Nope. Which is, like, the anthem of the Yankees minor league system.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just the gradual rise of these prospects, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, they have been very far away. Like, you know, last year we were saying, like, oh, everyone's at Charleston, which was true. But now it's like, well, everyone's at Trenton, which is, you know, two steps up. So I think particularly with position players that AAA is kind of less important because once you get past AA, you're really facing, like, stashed away depth. So, you know, I would never say that a position player has to be in AAA for a whole year because I feel like that competition is inferior to what they would be facing either at the major league level or in the AA level. So, you know, if Tyler Austin starts next season with Scranton and does well for, you know, half the season until the Super 2 deadline or whatever, I think that they should call him up because I don't think that AAA is any tremendous evaluator of talent.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it's the Chin-Ming Wongs and Chris Buchecks and those people. And
you need to make sure they can hit them, though.
I mean, I guess. But, I mean, if they can do well in AA against...
Yeah.
Well, you know...
Noah Syndergaard, then
the outfield's gonna be crowded in the Ichiro, you know.
They can launch him out of
the game. Hey, man, Wells. If Wells needs to go, I'm sorry.
Cannon. They both do.
But I was going to say was, I wonder if Mason Williams will necessarily start in Trenton, because wasn't he only up? I mean, because he was only up because, like, Heath got hurt.
Yeah, he was only up because of
the
injuries.
So the outfield's going to be full, and he was kind of struggling in Tampa anyway, so maybe he needs one more.
I think they're going to keep him down in Tampa.
I don't. I think that they will put him in Trenton.
So who gets the boot from... Oh, you think they'll just put Austin in AAA and do Heathcott, Flores, Williams, or something?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, one other of those guys in AAA.
Yeah. I think
do you think any of the
Flores, who had like a good season and, you know, wasn't hurt like Heathcott. I mean, I could see him start against Creighton.
Flores had roughly the same numbers as Austin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't say he was like had a great season. He had like a fine season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see.
Yeah, I guess once they brought Mason Williams up for the playoffs, they probably won't go back down.
Yeah, I think they're gonna probably start him. Because, I mean, I don't see them sticking Williams back in Tampa.
No.
I have a question. Do you think he has a chance to make the roster?
Who?
Williams.
Whose roster?
The Yankees.
No.
Today?
No, I meant like in spring training next year. If you assume that they get rid of Wells and or Ichiro.
No, Williams is the furthest off of all these guys, I think.
So who would be the next one?
Austin.
Probably, Austin, yeah. Okay. But I don't think he's going to.
I mean, I don't think he is either. I just, of the big the big three, I think that Austin is the closest to the majors. But he also kind of has the lowest ceiling. Like,
maybe.
Yeah, well, he
does. Like, I mean, you know, Mason Williams and Slade Heathcott have, like, tools for days that Austin just doesn't. But
out of nowhere.
But he's also, like, the safest bet. Like, he's kind of those three, the one most likely to make it, I think.
Well, the big problem with Austin is that he has not really developed much power yet, and like, you know, how long do you wait for the power to come before, you know, to say, oh, he's just not gonna have any power?
I don't even know if that's the biggest thing with him, because I mean, even if he doesn't have a ton of power, then I mean, it's disappointing, but it's not, you know, the end of the world. I think
no.
The main problem with him is that he doesn't really have a set place defensively, because he was drafted as a catcher, then he went to third base, and then he moved for Dante Pacheco Jr., so he went to the outfield. And now, for the Arizona Fall League, they're putting him at first base. Like,
yeah.
I don't really know what they see for him. I mean, maybe first base is just, like, a test because they want to see. Like, I don't know, but it's just, he's done a lot of moving, and
I think they're just trying to find value for him.
I mean, I'm sure, but, you know, his easiest path to the majors is not first base.
Nope.
So, I don't know.
Someone said that maybe it just didn't see how he does their insurance in case Teixeira is not healthy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's true, because they don't have anything at first base. I mean, unless you believe in Kyle Roller, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, so if
Kyle Roller,
maybe they could try Austin, but I don't know. I guess it's a way that, yeah, it just increases versatility, sort of make him into, like, a Nick Swisher type, where he can play both the outfield and first base. Maybe not, like, well, necessarily, either, but the fact that he can play it.
I thought they should move him back to third.
Maybe he was a Busher at third, I don't remember.
Well, I mean, he wasn't there very long.
Well, either way, they have, like, Jagielo at third, too.
Well, yeah, but he's pretty far off.
Yeah, Jagielo will probably start next year in Charleston, maybe.
Yeah.
He's supposed to have, like, a really good bat, though, so maybe he'll move on, like, the sort of accelerated Austin path that they were doing this year.
Yeah, I mean, he might end up in Tampa or Trenton at the end of next season.
I really like Jagielo.
Have you told him this?
I should tweet him. I
really like you.
I think we should hang out sometime, get some milkshakes.
I will take a corner infield of Greg Bird and Eric Jagielo.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
I'll accept it.
Please.
Sign up for that.
That would be delicious.
But,
like sharing milkshakes with Eric Jagielo.
They also have the little baby kid, Andujar. Andujar, however you say his name.
Andujar?
Whatever.
Andujar? I don't know.
Something.
I've never heard of this person.
He was in Gulf Coast League,
yeah,
and he apparently comes with lots of hype.
Miguel Andujar?
Yeah. He's a third baseman.
I can never trust Gold Coast League stats anymore after Dante Bichette Jr.
It's true, but I mean, I guess the difference there is that everyone kind of knew that DBJ was over.
Yeah, true.
Rated and.
Wow. Yeah, what is
the people paid to talk about prospects for a living seem to enjoy this other dude who I will now call Andy.
Miguel Andujar. Yeah.
You know, DBJ did get a new Jeep recently.
Gotta get in there.
He's got to have something to transport to college and back.
Just saying, I know this is, long ways away, so it's kind of not very relevant. This year, Andujar had 11 errors. Year before that, 14. Yeah.
Ew.
Yep.
Hey.
Just to burst that bubble a little bit. Little pinprick.
I mean, that's Gulf Coast League, and I know, he's really young.
It doesn't, yeah, exactly. It doesn't really mean a lot.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah, he's like a child.
Not as much
of a child as Torrance.
Or as Molina.
Oh, God, yeah.
Leonardo Molina.
He's like 16,
oh, man,
17. 12?
Basically.
Babies.
Yeah. Louis Torrance.
We're the old people now.
Yeah, he was born in, like, 1997.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so my senior year of high school.
Yes,
that's good.
Yes.
That's good. That's not
He's
good.
Going to the instructional league, what I heard.
All right.
Sources can...
Oh, Aaron Judge might be going.
Oh, God.
Is he alive?
Aaron Judge might be doing stuff.
Speaking of dudes who are not alive, that guy.
I mean, maybe in 1 year we'll look back and it'll be like, well, it was whatever. But it's just really weird that he hasn't, like, done anything and we've heard nothing.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt.
And we didn't even hear that
all of the Yankees this year.
He pulled his quad.
Yeah, but it's not like we...
Didn't he, like, do it instantly, too?
Probably. I don't know.
Just as a sign that it's 2013.
Just so you know, all three of our first-round draft picks were injured.
Yeah, at the beginning of their season.
Screw you,
2013. Well, I think Clarkin was hurt before the draft. And by hurt, I mean sprained ankle. I'm not really sure, though.
I don't know.
But still, Jagielo pulled a hamstring working out at the complex. Aaron Judge, I don't know, broke
Quadded
his quad. Standing too tall. The atmosphere was too thin.
Sounds like 2013 to me.
Yep.
Pretty much. He was hit by a cloud.
HVC.
That happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Our minor system, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Our major system is just major awful.
Still no pitching, though, so.
Again, get Tanaka.
Man Bam will be back.
I'm hoping Man Bam.
I'm really hoping he has a bounce back season.
Well.
Yeah, but
back from not pitching is
exactly. Like, what is he going to be doing next year? Like, where is
bouncing
he going to
back?
Bouncing back,
like, literally.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, he's supposed to be breaking into the majors already, and now he's not.
I mean, yeah, but he was so young that, like, this
I know,
that big of a deal.
I know, but
it's
been
a depressing day.
Tommy John isn't 100%. Who knows what's going to happen?
By the way, speaking of Tommy John. Am I correct in reading that I thought I read something today where Jabba apparently went against the decisions of the doctor and got Tommy John when he didn't need it?
Yeah.
Jabba is also a doctor.
From what I read, his ulnar collateral was not actually damaged.
Yeah, they're like...
But I'm not sure.
Like, you wouldn't be able to turn a doorknob if it was actually hurt to the degree that we would need to perform Tommy John surgery. And he's just like, we'll get it.
Yeah. No, yeah. He had another he had damage to another ligament that apparently, I don't know. I don't know what this surgery is. I don't know what, you know, the seriousness of it is. But it was not the Tommy John ligament that was injured. It was another ligament. And... I don't think he needed surgery for that. I'm not really sure, but, like, Dr. Andrews said his elbow was fine, and nah. He said he wanted to make sure it was healthy and done with. which is like the same thing that teenagers have done to like preemptively have Tommy John surgery, which doesn't make any sense.
So you're telling, like, so all this talk about the job rules and stuff, he might have just screwed himself.
Well, this probably. Was only like a few years. This was like, what?
Yeah, but two like, years ago. Remember when he was injured for like, you know, a couple days and all of a sudden it was like, well, he's gonna have Tommy John. It's like, where did that come from? It's because he didn't actually have that serious of an injury. He just wanted to get it. Because
he was like pitching and he was fine and he was like, yeah, I don't feel any pain. And they were like, but he's gonna have Tommy John. Is what was it, like 2011?
Yeah. That's why it came out of nowhere, because it wasn't necessary.
So it's worse than we think. Like,
so basically, because Job is an idiot, and I'm honestly surprised that Andrews actually performed the surgery, if that's what happened. I don't know if he personally did it, because he says something about, like, you know, I'm not going to operate on a perfectly healthy patient. So I don't know where that happens or how someone ended up, like a doctor, an actual physical real-life doctor said, yeah, sure, I'll cut you open and take out your perfectly fine ligament. I mean, like, Tommy John is not 100% every time. You know, why would you do that if you don't need it?
His job is a genius.
I mean, it's not like, oh, he's trying to, he could try to avoid it. He didn't need it.
Listen, Jabba sucks, all right?
Well, it's
Jabba
like,
screwed himself, moron. He screwed us, he screwed the trampoline, he screwed everyone.
Well, it's like, yeah. Thanks for contributing to the team,
yeah,
bro.
It's like, peace, I just want it done with. Like, you don't need it. There's no, I need it done with. That doesn't make any sense. You know, like, the people, some people have this idea that if you take out a perfectly healthy ligament and then replace it, it's going to be like 110%. You're just putting another clean ligament in there. You know, you don't gain velocity from getting Tommy John surgery. You just are able to give your 100% like you were back before the ligament was damaged. And his ligament wasn't damaged.
He's the worst.
God.
He's a moron.
Who's going to be the team that will actually give him a contract next year?
The Marlins?
Mets?
The Mets. I would not be surprised if he's on the Mets.
I mean, their bullpen is terrible, so they've really got nothing to lose.
If they signed Phil Hughes and Jabba Chamberlain, I would not be surprised.
No, they've got nothing to lose.
No. You know, Jabba has pitched himself out of every possible contract he could possibly imagine.
I hope he goes and plays in Japan. Far away.
That would be funny.
You know, like, he's on the verge of becoming a non-roster invitee.
Yeah.
That's how bad he's been. I don't think that'll happen. I think someone will give him a contract.
I think if he shows up at the Yankees training camp, someone should be there with a shotgun to greet him. Like, you just keep right on moving.
keep walking.
I don't know. What right do you think you're walking. Trying to do?
This isn't visiting day. Keep on walking.
It'll be like in Major League when Willie Mays Hayes is trying to make the team. They just dropped his bed outside the camp. Like, no, we didn't invite you. Get out.
Keep walking, Jabba. Keep walking. We have no tweet bag questions tonight, do we?
Not. Everyone else is as depressed as we are.
Yeah.
No.
So let's just get right to the Yankee and me trade. All right. Waffles, Yankee of the Week.
Cano. Because he's the only one that doesn't depress me.
Who else is there, really?
I don't know.
He's the only one that doesn't make me sad.
Oh.
Andrew.
Andy Pettit wasn't bad the other day, I guess.
God damn.
Jason.
That was... No. There's no one left. Everyone sucked.
So just say Andy Pettit or Cano again. There are no rules.
Everyone...
Should I go, or you got yours?
Yeah, you go. You go.
I'm going to actually pick Jared Murphy, because he shows signs of actually, you know, being able to catch the ball.
Wow, that's an improvement.
Yes, it is, sadly.
That is an improvement.
Jason, you're Yankee of the Week.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Mariano Rivera.
Sure, why not?
You realize, by the way, we only have a week of Mo left.
I know.
Yeah, the next podcast is pretty much going to be the Mo podcast, probably.
I think so.
The Mo cast?
Sunday is just going to be all the feels. All the feels.
I think Metallica is coming.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. I think
Metallica is coming.
I said, I think they're playing at the Apollo Saturday night.
Yeah, so somebody wrote that on the site today.
Yeah. Okay. So I think there's a pretty good chance. But, alright.
That would be amazing. I don't even like Metallica, but that would be amazing.
What's funny is that Martin Rivera doesn't really like them either, so he'd probably just stand there and be amused, and then they'd leave.
I think he'd smile.
Oh yeah, he'd be like, he'd politely smile.
He enjoyed the gold record that he got as a gift.
Yeah.
Like, I think he said that was his favorite.
Speaking of gifts, what did the Blue Jays give him tonight?
A statue of a fisherman?
Yeah.
Oh.
And a check.
Was it nice? It was a nice statue?
It was a nice check.
It was a nice
sculpture.
It was like a fisherman in a boat reeling in a fish.
That's not terrible.
No, because he was a fisherman's son.
It still puts in more effort than sand.
It's better than sandcastle.
Sandcastle. Better than anything the Red Sox did.
Hey, remember that time we failed?
Remember the time when we kind of passive-aggressively had a ceremony about the Red Sox?
And future Hall of Famers Dustin Pedroia and David Ortiz.
But it was funny.
I didn't see it. Was it really that terrible? I mean,
it was pretty bad.
I mean, because I can understand, like, polite ribbing. Because I said, Lord knows, if we ever honor a Red Sox, you know, at Yankee Stadium, I expect them to make fun of him, too.
It was just in bad taste. It wasn't like, you know, too bad. I mean, you know, it was just like...
They showed that whole Game 4 sequence before.
Yeah, well, of course the Red Sox would be the one team to do something like that. Like, it's just...
that I understand. It's more like, I mean, the future Hall of Famer thing I think was BS. I was like, why would you promote your own crap?
It just felt like
for a celebration about Mo. I mean, the
exactly.
ribbing, I understand. Like I said, what reason have they have to like really honor him?
Every other team managed to do
the same reason every other team. Like, you know, every team could like roll a clip of him like. Blowing saves.
Can they really
them.
Though? I mean, how many saves have
it happens. Mo
really blown against other teams?
I mean, it happens. Like, you know, he's not been perfect.
He's probably blown a save against every
like,
team.
Like,
they didn't.
This once.
That post Harlan wrote about Mo and them was pretty spectacular. But
it just seemed like it was
in bad taste,
and
bad taste.
Kind of. Inappropriately timed.
I thought the gifts were pretty decent.
I like that they gave him the 42 placard.
Yeah, I thought that.
The other stuff was just like, here's more Red Sox themed gifts for no reason.
Here's a seat.
It's like
have a pitching
yeah,
rubber.
I'm surprised they didn't give him like a Red Sox uniform or like a Red Sox like yacht. It's like a yacht, but like has the Red Sox symbol on it. It's like, hey. Red Sox. It was a ceremony about the Red Sox.
Here's a portrait. Portrait of you saluting the fans after we were celebrating our World Series that we got because of you.
Right. It was the Red Sox celebrating Mariano Rivera. That was the celebration. All
right. Yeah.
It was a celebration of the Red Sox celebrating Mariano Rivera.
So yeah, again, chair of broken dreams, still the best gift.
Yep.
The best gift.
Yeah.
No one's beaten that.
No. Waffles, your meat tray of the week.
Krombus Stuberlin.
All right. I don't think it's fair to take two, but you are the boss.
I run this thing, so if I want two, I can have two.
Whoa.
Oh.
And I want two, and I hate both of them.
All right.
Dude.
You're just lucky I didn't take three.
What would that sound like?
Let's not. We still need to pick some. Andrew, you're meat tray of the week.
Ichiro, leave, bye.
All right. Jason?
Tumblr.
I'm going to have to go with... It's just so many options. Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod, really?
Yeah, he's been not
been
good.
Been kind of dead, yeah.
He's been a little dead.
He's hurt. So.
Well, he's hurt. I mean,
he's hurt. Yes.
Dude, like, can't run.
Oh, my choice, I guess. Yeah, there really are so many to choose from.
Starting rotation.
I'm gonna go with. Can I pick Hughes? Here's the thing. You know what's funny about Hughes? He hasn't actually pitched that terribly. But he has no leeway. Like, the game in Baltimore, he didn't pitch that awful. And he showed signs of pitching well, even except for, like a mistake here and there. But, I mean, he wasn't going to his usual 0-2 to 3-2 count.
But at the same time, he could have, like, given up a home run like he did on his last pitch the other day.
Listen, Phil Hughes is going to give up home runs. I think we've already established this. But if he's only giving up, like one a game and pitches well, I consider that a Phil Hughes victory.
In the last three games that he's played in, hitters are batting over 300 against him. And they've been 860 OPS. He's just not good. But the thing is, like, he's been not, you know, terribly bad because Joe Girardi's been taking him out in the third inning. I'm just
going by the fact that he's not doing his usual work the count BS.
Sure. But he's
no, he's
also
just giving up hits early in the count.
Exactly. He's just throwing it right down the middle. And he's getting hit. And then he's promptly taken out of the game.
I'm actually going to go with Hiroki Kuroda because he's
dying.
He's just falling apart. And I remember many podcasts ago, we were talking about how the Yankees really need to, like, re-sign him. And then now we're like, well, if they don't, I'm not going to be too upset.
I mean, I think they will, because, I mean, you still have to, even though he did struggle down the stretch, you still have to get those first several months, and really, the alternatives are not great, so.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless they get Tanaka.
Well, I mean, they can get both.
Yeah, and just dump Hughes, Java.
Well, they are dumping Hughes, or I will riot.
Alright, let's just end this podcast. It's depressing. The best part about this podcast was talking about the future of the Yankees.
Like Greg Bird.
MVP of the Yankees in 2013.
Of this.
Did you just call him an amputee?
No.
MVP.
No.
Amputee.
I was like, God, did 2013
That's what they cheer
get
in the stands.
Through?
That's what they cheer in the stands. Amputee. Amputee.
I was like, man, what happened?
And, you know, Greg Bird runs up there with his nubs. Little nubbins.
I think we found the name for this podcast. Greg Bird's Nubs.
Nubs or Nubbins?
Nubbins.
Alright. So, you can tweet bag us, and really, you're not going to have many more questions to ask about this season of the Yankees, because
we won't answer them.
Yeah, not only will we not answer them, but pretty much, unless the Yankees pull off the most miraculous playoff push ever, they're not making the postseason, so
we'll be too drunk to answer your question.
So we've basically got another week of baseball left. But if you feel like it, you can tweet bag us at Pinstripe Bible. There is no D. Much like Chris Stewart.
He has no D.
Also follow our other Twitter handle, at Yankees GIFs, where, trust me, we'll probably be GIFing quite a bit of Yankee failures.
And we are Josh Pettit approved.
Yes. All right.
Yay.
You can also tweet bag us on the website when Andrew posts his wonderful tweet bag post, fan shot, whatever it is.
Russell David Cohn approved.
We continue to be David Cohn approved.
Yes. I am David Cohn approved.
You're all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, but
feels good.
Let's not get into that again, because, you
feels
know,
good.
I rag or anything.
I don't want to, like, make you feel bad that I didn't spend months shamelessly begging.
Oh, well, at least I didn't get the pity follow.
Not even sorry. I am not even sorry.
Anyway, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for Pinstripe Alley Podcast. And, yeah, I think pretty much next podcast will be just Mo, right? What else is there?
Tribute to Mo.
Yeah, tribute to Mo. Yeah, you know what? Tweet bag us all your Mo questions.
You mean Alfonso Soriano? That's what the Blue Jays broadcast told me. Who he was.
What?
Oh, yeah, there's a photo when they were talking about Mariano Rivera's saves, and they had a photo of Alfonso Soriano.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I tweeted it. It was pretty great.
They got confused.
Soriano.
Too much protein.
Their French-Canadian asses didn't know what he looked like.
All right. So, for Jason, Tanya, and Andrew, I'm Greg Kirkland. I'm giving you a raise. And Greg Bird's nubbins.